Malachi chapter 3 is where we are tonight, and I would like for us to focus simply on verse 6 as we spend some time in the Word together tonight. Malachi 3:6 was one of my children's memory verse a few weeks ago, and as I was looking over their upcoming week of school, I noticed this verse, and it intrigued me because it's a verse that I had certainly heard before, read before, memorized before. But quite honestly, I don't know if I really understood the verse until I spent some time meditating upon it on a Saturday morning, and I thought it would be great for us to think about our God tonight in light of this verse. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Part A and Part B of this verse for a long time eluded me in how they were connected. And as I thought about this verse that Saturday morning, I was enlightened in knowledge, but more than that, I was encouraged, I was edified, and I was humbled at exactly who our God is. "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed." Let's take that verse apart a little bit and figure out what we're dealing with, and by the end tonight, we'll put it back together, and we'll understand, if we didn't before, maybe you're quicker than I am, how this changeless God and a lack of the children of Jacob being consumed go together. "For I, the Lord, do not change. The Infinite One does not change." If you're taking notes, that'd be the first point tonight. The Infinite One does not change. He says, "I, the Lord." The names in this verse are significant, I think. The Lord is who? The Lord is Yahweh. The Lord is that one who appeared to Moses in a burning bush, most fully declaring his I am-ness, most fully declaring what it meant for him to be the Lord. If you look in your Bible, it's capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's different than what you would read in the New Testament. It's a little bit different than what you read in other places in the Old Testament. It is the personal name of God. I've said a moment ago, it's Yahweh. When Moses asked this deity who appeared to him in the burning bush, "Okay, so who shall I tell the children of Israel sent me?" This is the name that that deity told Moses to tell the children of Israel. "Tell them I am has sent you." Yahweh, the Lord, "tell them I am that I am." And for purposes of this verse, that's mighty significant because the Lord is I am. He is ever present. We say he is eternal. He's never had a beginning. He will never have an ending. In fact, theologians say that God lives in what they call the eternal present. There's really no past with God because a past would imply a beginning. There's not necessarily a future with God because a future would imply that there was a past and there is a time constraint. God has no time constraint. He absolutely always has been. And if you want to bend your mind a little bit, you can think about the fact that God has always known what's going to take place at every point in time that he created and at every point in the future in which he was going to exist, and yet he never had a beginning. And so all that has existed and all that will exist and obviously all that currently does exist is really all the same to him. You and I go through the process of learning. You and I move from learning our letters to learning blends to learning sounds to reading words. And we keep reading words and we keep learning there are new words and we keep trying to get acquainted with them because we aren't born with all the knowledge that we need. We're not born with all the knowledge that we have, but God has always had that. He is changeless. He doesn't need to be changed. I mean, education is a matter of change. It's a matter of building upon prior knowledge to improve oneself. God doesn't need that. In his infinity, in his eternality, he is perfect. He is all-wise, he is all-good, he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful. And so for him to say he does not change is really wrapped up in his name, I, am. And he really doesn't have to say anything else. He's self-existing. He's self-sustaining. And so as I think about that burning bush, I find that the burning bush is perhaps an even more fitting symbol than we might first recognize. Think about that burning bush. It is white hot with fire. It is unapproachable. You don't go near it, for you would perish. But that burning bush doesn't change one bit as it is there in front of Moses, does it? I mean, Moses said he looked and the bush was not consumed by the fire. That means it did not change. The miracle of it not burning attracts Moses' attention, and the miracle of it not burning gives to us some small bit of understanding of this God who is I am. The tips of the branches don't turn white with the heat. The shape doesn't change. It doesn't get greener. It doesn't get drier. It is there and burning. I am. I am, do not change. The infinite one does not change. The name of the Lord communicates something very clear about this. We move to the next phrase, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Theologians call this his immutability. That is, he is incapable of change. It's not that he doesn't, it's that he is incapable, for there is no reason for him to change. A bit of repetition, but these verses help inform us about this. Numbers 23:19. We looked at a few of these a couple weeks ago. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God does not change. He thinks, he speaks, it's settled, and he will do. We think of how that is so unlike us as human beings. Sometimes there's not a problem with us changing our mind. Sometimes there is a problem with someone we're interacting with changing their mind. Sometimes it's not a problem for us to decide we're going to go to a different restaurant for a meal. But then there are those times where people change and they renege on the deal. All the terms were settled, and we thought that we had come to an understanding, and a person reneges. God is not that way. Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27, tell us that of old God laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. They will perish, but you, the psalmist says, you, God, will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. They will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. I went with the teachers to the conference this past week, and one of my most favorite things in the world, and I'm sure it might be yours too, is packing for a trip, right? I hate packing, but I love my wife, so I don't ask her to pack. I actually love mortal existence, so I don't ask my wife to pack. So I packed all my stuff up. And actually, I think I packed my stuff up in about 15, 20 minutes. It was pretty fast. It had to be. Kids were still late to school, but that's another part of the story. So I packed my stuff up, and to me, half the fun of going on a trip is waiting for that moment when I realize I forgot something. It's kind of like, so what did I forget? What did I forget this time? How exciting will it be? How great will this be? What, am I going to have to go to the store, you know? This time it was toothpaste, and we took care of that problem, and it's all good. But I was surprised on Friday morning when I pulled out my shirt, I put it on, and I noticed that the cuff was coming apart. There's a point to the story. The cuff to my shirt was coming apart. Didn't notice that when I packed it up. It just kind of looked normal. It was on the inside, and so I got it tucked in there and needed to be presentable for the speaking opportunity I had. But it's a reminder, my friends, that the things in life around us wear out. As this verse says, the earth will wear out like a garment. We know that happens. Now, you know, elementary boys wear out their clothes through abuse. But even those of us who don't abuse our clothes find that they wear out. And to us, that's not really surprising. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising. But God doesn't wear out. God doesn't change. God doesn't wear down. God doesn't get old and a little bit slower. No, God is the same, and his years have no end. I'll skip ahead to James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You and I know people who, they may not necessarily have wild mood swings, but we still know people who are a little different from day to day. There's a variation. There's not a consistency, but you got to kind of figure out exactly which way to approach him this day or that day. People change. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I went to Sunday school with one of my classmates in public school, and she would come every, I don't know, maybe once a month or so, something like that. And we weren't enemies, we weren't friends, but we were just happened to be in the same class for Sunday school and fifth grade. And sometime in sixth grade, something changed. And all of a sudden, she started dressing differently, and she did her hair differently, and she started wearing makeup. And all of a sudden, this individual who had just been that girl who was in my Sunday school class was now, and I'm in public school here, and we'll just say that. This girl all of a sudden started attracting quite a bit of attention from the guys. It was one of the most stark changes I had ever seen in person up to that point in my life. I kind of scratched my head. People change. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to work at a camp, the Wilds, down in North Carolina, and there were a number of us who served as counselors. And one in particular, his name was Mark. We were part of a group of friends, and not tight friends, but good enough friends, and we did our thing there for a couple summers, and you kind of move in and out of contact. I saw him probably 7 or 8 years later. We came in contact out in Kansas City, and then lost a little bit of contact and became friends on Facebook, and then the tragic news that Mark's wife had passed away in an accident. And over time, Mark publicly changed in his beliefs and his applications. He changed in terms of his morals. And unfortunately, 1,000 days after his wife passed away, he figured that life without her was not really worth going on with. He had changed. Sometimes people change for the worse. Sometimes people change for the better. Recently, I was with a friend who's a pastor, and we had gone to school together. And he'd always been a nice enough guy, but he was also one of those guys who didn't necessarily suffer fools lightly. And if his girlfriend at the time was not quite as logical as he felt she should be, then he made that known. Well, a number of years have passed since we were together, and as we sat together at lunch and his wife was there and a few of us were interacting, it was an absolute pleasure to see him treat her with respect and deference, even in disagreeing. People change, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. And we're used to that. But God does not change. Thankfully, God's not a powder keg father or a moody mother or a petulant child or a hormonal teen. God is steady and consistent. We've got a number of children who are with us tonight. Kids, sometimes your parents change. They might not necessarily mean to. They might not necessarily want to. But things change them. My young friends, remember, God does not change that way. God is a perfect parent. And that perfect parent, God, that perfect Father, the Almighty God, has put you with the parents you have in spite of how they may or may not change, whether it's a lot or a little. That Heavenly Father can be trusted, and He calls you to repent because He wants you to be His child. He is a perfect Father, for He does not change. I, the Lord, do not change. And so we come to the second point, which is part of the second half of the verse. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. I want to focus first on who is being addressed. The finite ones do change. The infinite one does not change. The finite ones do change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, Malachi, under inspiration of God, speaking for God, points out that his audience are the children, not of Israel, but the children of Jacob. And just like the name Lord, Yahweh, was intentionally selected at the beginning of the verse, the name Jacob is intentionally selected here. Because there is perhaps no greater example of change in our Old Testament than the man named Jacob. Think about Jacob. What does Jacob do to get his birthright? He changes himself. Pretends to be someone he's not. He changes the feel of his skin. He changes the smell of his clothes. He changes himself so that his father will not recognize him, and he, as the deceiver, the supplanter, the heel grabber, goes in as a changed man to get what God would have providentially given him another way if he'd been obedient. O children of a changer, children of a deceiver, children of a shifter. Here the contrast begins to come out. The finite ones do change. But it's not Jacob he's addressing, it's the children of Jacob. He's addressing those people who at Mount Sinai changed their God from the one true God to an idol. You, O children of Jacob, you who back at Sinai made a calf and said, that's who let you out of Egypt. They changed their gods in the book of Judges how many times? Over the space of approximately 400 years, time and again, they go through that cycle of disloyalty, of judgment, maybe of repentance, maybe just crying out in grief, and God brings them peace. And then once again, they go back to change their gods, and they are punished, etc., etc. We come to the book of 1 Samuel, and they change their allegiance. And they say to Samuel the prophet, give us a king so that we're like everybody else. Samuel is torn up about that, and God says to Samuel, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me, because they changed their allegiance. You children of Jacob who change all the time, God is saying. They change their security time and again throughout Old Testament history. They get into the promised land, and they are in the space between the pincers of the Babylonian, Assyrian, Akkadian, Sumerian Empire to their northeast and to the Egyptians in their southwest. And despite the fact that God brought them into the promised land and knocked down walls and gave them cities, etc., etc., they feel like their security needs to come from Egypt or Assyria or Babylonia, whoever is ascendant at the time. And so they changed their security, forgetting the eternal God was their refuge, and underneath were the everlasting arms. And we come to the book of Malachi. Malachi coming 400 years before Jesus. Malachi coming 200 years after they've been carted off to Babylon. 130 years after they've been able to come back to their own land, have it reestablished. They've got their temple, they've got their system, they have the priests, and once again, they change their obedience in the book of Malachi. Yes, they bring their sacrifices, but what sort of sacrifices do they bring? They've got the symbolism right. They brought a sacrifice, but the substance is all wrong. They bring sacrifices they never take to their governor. They are still children of Jacob. And so we come to the point. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. The third and final point tonight is this. The infinite one does not fight change with change. The infinite one does not fight change with change. You see, approximately 1,600 years before God says these words to the children of Jacob, he said to Abraham, he made a promise to Abraham that he would give him descendants as numerous as the stars. He'd give him a land. And that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. What he did not say to Abraham was, if you do X, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars. I'll give you the land, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He simply said to Abraham, I am the Lord God who called you out of Ur of the Chaldees. I will give you this land. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars, numerous as the sands on the sea. And through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And for 1,600 years, Abraham's descendants have changed their allegiance, their obedience, their security, their gods. And since God is unchanging and made a unilateral covenant with Abraham, he does not consume his people. Though they deserve it, he does not fight change with change. Though there is a famine in Canaan and Abraham goes down to Egypt for help, God does not consume Abraham and his family. Though they are slaves in Egypt, though they are oppressed, God does not consume them and allow them to be overcome, but in fact delivers them. Though there are enemies in Canaan, though there are enemies on the way to Canaan, though they are surrounded by those who are idolatrous, and though they even go into that idolatry, as we read, they are not consumed, and the Israelites still live. Though God has to punish and send Nebuchadnezzar, and though there are exiles taken, though there are those slaughtered, though the very prophecies of cannibalism and the prophecies of famine and destitution come true, though many go down to Egypt, though the northern tribes are scattered all over the known world, yet God does not consume, even though Israel deserved it. And last, we could look at the story of Esther and Haman, the Feast of Purim, Mordecai. Every single Jew is marked out for destruction. Medo-Persia has control of the known world, and the edict goes out for every single Jew to be killed. And a second edict goes out that every single Jew may protect himself. Since God does not go back on his word that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's family, the children of Jacob are not consumed. That's how it comes together. What God could have rightfully done, and even what God justly does in punishing his people, he stops short of wiping them all out. What does Moses say when God threatens to wipe them all out and start over with Moses? It fits right along with what he says here. The children of Jacob are not consumed. For I, the Lord, do not change. Thank goodness God doesn't change. Thank goodness God's not like a man, like you or like me. who in a fit of rage says, "I'm done," and wipes them out. No, he does not change. His patience does not change. His mercy does not change. His grace does not change. His slowness to anger does not change. His holiness does not change. His righteousness does not change. And his justice does not change. He keeps his word all the way through. Even with the if-then of the Mosaic covenant, he still keeps his word to Moses, and he does not consume them because he can't be changed. So as I think of that, I think of these words from Romans chapter 8. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. I'll read them for you. Romans 8, starting in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O child of Jacob, O child of his, are not consumed yesterday, tonight, or tomorrow. For nothing shall separate God's own from the love of God in Christ. Thank God, he does not change, but stays consistent all the way through. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would impress upon each heart in a very personal way what we need from your character tonight. I ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.